Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. The Frederick Faith Debate is brought to you by AllShred Mobile Document Destruction. They sell security. The Frederick Faith Debate is designed to be an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. Thomas Jefferson once said, "The clash of ideas is the sound of freedom." In that spirit, we will seriously wrestle with important ideas and might even disagree with one another. The hope is that through our wrestling, you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this world. This week, we're going to discuss the idea of truth. Is there a universal truth? And if so, can we all agree on it? And how do we know it when we found it? And here to talk about that this week, back on this week, he's becoming a familiar voice, John Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroad Valley Chapel. Also with us for the first time, thank you for coming, is Tony Fish, the spiritual leader at Unity Church in Frederick, and a leading layperson in the community, Dr. Charles Van Meter, who has been conducting and leading a community Bible study in the area for about a decade, and is also teaching an adult Sunday school class at Good News Presbyterian, is here as well. And actually, Peter Kemeny, who pastors that church, has been a guest in this program before. And I thank all three of you for being with us this morning. So, truth. I was having lunch one time with a friend of mine, actually a business associate, and we were talking about things of faith and spirituality and those sorts of things. I'm not sure why, but I find myself talking about these things from time to time. And we were talking about the idea of truth. And he said to me, well, you know, all truth is kind of relative. We all have our own truth. You know, you have your truth, I have my truth. Wouldn't you agree? And at the time, I said, yes, I would agree with that. But ever since that, it's stuck with me, and I've been thinking about it. Do I agree with that, or don't I agree with that? Mm-hmm. And I've been wrestling with it, so we're going to wrestle with that a little bit this morning. And maybe real quickly, we're going to get a sense of where the players stand on this issue. We'll go around the room real quickly, and we'll start with you, Charlie, and see, is there one truth, or can everybody have their own truth?
Troy, I think that with the background that I'll be coming from, I'll be taking the position that there is an objective truth in the world. And the objective truth that I would say that we have is clearly Jesus Christ, because he makes the statement in John 14, for example, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I think there's an objective truth. I think in our postmodern world that we're dealing with a false sense that there's not, that the world today in the postmodern concept, everybody's, like you said, the introduction to the show, that it's what's true to me is what's important. We're subjective. And anybody that has a subjective feeling of truth obviously thinks their truth is the truth, and they don't have an objective standard. But the Scripture tells us there is an objective standard, and I think that's Jesus Christ. He says he's the truth, which I'll elaborate on.
All right, John?
I'm going to ultimately really come down in the same place as Charlie. I'm going to attempt to grapple, I think, with the idea that there is that we, in today's language, substitute the idea of perspective for truth, instead of recognizing that there's a truth out there that's absolutely true, and then there are perspectives on that we ultimately have to grapple with. And it's part of the reason I think why the whole world is not in agreement on things right now, is because the perspective element is kind of where we are hashing things out. And so I'm going to argue that there is absolute truth, but that the pursuit of it ultimately can only come in the context of, like we're doing today, clashing, going head-to-head, and seeing if my truth still lines up once I'm going head-to-head with somebody that seems to have found a different truth. And I personally believe that Christ will always win out in that context, but that's why I have the discussion.
Tony?
It's an interesting thing, Troy. I remember John, the first time he came into my office, said, I really believe that we have similarities and we have differences, and this is going to be a place for us to do them, and we'll probably disagree more often than not. Interestingly enough.
Here we go.
No, actually, John.
Come on.
And some, I'm Don't sure when we get me. Into the details, we will. There is an absolute, there is a universal truth.
Okay.
That is our terminology.
Yeah.
There is a universal set of truths. Whether we agree on what those universal set of truths are is part of that discussion. there are also perspectives, which we would call relative truths.
Yeah.
There's the big T truth and the little T truth.
Good. Okay.
So how we come to, and I know before we got started, Charlie said, it's how we get there. It's how we get to God.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, God is our absolute, our universal truth. How we define that and how we get there is then the process. And that's where the difficulty comes in, and that's where the dissimilarities come in.
Okay, I want to follow up with and try to expand on something you just said. I'm not sure that I understand what those absolute universal truths would be and what the relative truths would be. What are some examples of a relative truth, for example?
In a relative truth? Actually, it's easier for me to give you what I consider to be an absolute truth.
Okay,
but
let's do that.
Let's start there. Absolute truth is there is only one power and one presence in the universe, and that is God, and we call God good. That is an absolute truth.
Okay.
Now, the other absolute truth from a unity perspective is that every individual, every human being has within him or her divinity. So for us, that's an absolute truth. We are all made of God's substance and are part of that. So for us, that is an absolute truth. Now, for others, that may very well be a relative truth.
I want to let I'll let Charlie.
I don't buy that at all. I think that I think the scriptures are clear that we are totally depraved. We don't see God. We're not God. We're humans. There's no divinity in any of us. There's only one God. And to say that there's divinity in people is to make us all gods, and there's only one God. Mm. And to make that kind of a statement is very misleading, and it makes us, I mean, it's a pantheistic type of statement, and, you know, we're worshiping everything. We're idolaters at that point, and I don't buy that at all. There's one true God. I agree with that. That's an absolute truth. That one true God is truth. And Jesus came, says, I'm truth, which he defines himself as that true God. And what is he telling us in his truth? He's telling us throughout the scriptures that we are sinners. We can't get to that God unless we come through him. He's the way and he's the truth that gets us to that God and reconciles us.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, this truth that we're talking about, what is this truth? What is the truth of Jesus? The truth is that he is the creator of the universe, Colossians. John 1. The truth is that he has created mankind for a purpose, for meaning. The truth is that we are not a God. We're a human being. We're here to represent him. We're in his image. And the truth is that we have lost that image through the fall. We're sinners. We have no ability to get to him. We certainly don't have divinity in us. Mm-hmm. Quite to the contrary, we're sinners. And consequently, Jesus comes and tells us the truth. The truth is, if we believe in him, then we have reconciliation with the God. And the belief in him is the belief in the truth of what he came to do and what he stood for.
Mm-hmm.
And so believing in Jesus Christ as the truth gives us purpose and meaning in life. We didn't come out of some slime pit. We were created in God's image. We have significance, and we have a history, and we're heading somewhere. And Jesus tells us that clearly we have to believe in him in order to be reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm.
There is an absolute God. We are not that God, and we will never be that God. We will never even be a part of the Godhead. We are made in God's image, and we're made to be servants of this God, and we're made to be representatives of this God, but we're not a part of the Godhead.
John, you look like you're chomping to say a little something.
It's interesting that Tony had said that we each have a little bit of God in us, and I think she's probably referring to the passage where it says that we're made in the image of God, and I certainly think that we were made with the stamp of the image of God on us. And that sin has marred that, and that at some level, what we're being redeemed, I think is a good word, back to is that image of God. Like where it says in Psalms, it says that, what is man that you are mindful of him? Mm-hmm. You know, you made him a little lower than the angels, but you crowned him with glory and honor, and you gave him rule over the animals and over the earth. The point is that there's an ideal that God wants to bring us back to, and we are redeemed back to that, but it's never the divine. And this is part of where I tend to, and I think Christianity tends to diverge from, like Buddhism, Hinduism, not so much Islam and Judaism, but specifically Hinduism and Buddhism, because they define like this holy other that we're trying to get back to be consumed by. And my concern with an approach that just says that we're trying to, you know, become divine again, is that like what Charlie was saying, that it doesn't keep a separation between us and God that I think is appropriate and that I think needs to be there. And as a result, when we don't keep that in there, this is my concern, is I think it breeds just a little bit of arrogance. Whew, that's huge. That's a okay. tough word. I'm not saying that I see that in you, but I'm saying that I think there's the potential for that.
And I'm not going to argue with that. I believe that if we believe we are God, there is arrogance. And that's not what I said. And that's not where I'm coming from. There is within me.
I thought that was the case. As I was listening to you, I thought maybe that you were making a distinction there.
Let me just finish that process, and then we can go. Because there is, we are made in the image of God, or we are made in God's image,
sure,
as spirit.
Yeah.
That same making was in Genesis, stamped as good.
Yeah.
So if, in fact, within me I have the essence that is God.
Something redeemable.
Not God.
Yeah.
Not God. But something that is pure in my essence, from which I start. Then the process of following the life and the teachings of Jesus, who is our way shower, leads me on that path.
I hear you.
Okay. To redeem, because I will have made decisions myself that are not in alignment with that path. So what I am in fact doing is redeeming myself. I like that word. I am finding that pure essence that Jesus said to himself, you can do the things that I do. If I can do the things that he did, I would have to have come from the same place that he did.
It's interesting. We got
Can't
into this
there.
The other day with Khalil. From a Muslim perspective, and it sounds like the disagreement here has to do with the nature of man. Mm-hmm. Does sin ultimately make us, what's the word? How bad does sin affect us when it affects us?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is that sin hasn't affected us so bad that we can't, in your words, redeem ourselves. And what I would argue that the Bible teaches, and so just making the distinction, mm-hmm. that what the Bible seems to teach is that not so much that we can redeem ourselves, but that we're fallen far enough, we're in sin enough that we can't redeem ourselves. We need somebody to redeem us and to show us grace and to pay the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what you're arguing is, I think what I hear you arguing is that you can redeem yourself. And again, I apologize for coming back to this term. I feel like that's a little bit prideful that we could ever redeem ourselves to a place where God could say, you know what, you did it, good job, you've done it. And I would say that there's just no way that we can do it. Sin has, I know my own heart, and I know what happens when somebody does something to me that I don't like. I know the anger that rises up inside, and I need a savior. I need somebody to redeem me from the death that sin has caused in my life. And that's why I look to Christ as savior, because I need him to do that.
Let me introduce what's going on here to those who might have joined us in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah,
you're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. By the way, you heard John Schweitzer's voice there just a second ago. He's the pastor of Crossroad Valley Chapel. He made reference to Khalil. For those who aren't initiated into this show, Khalil has been on this show a number of times. Khalil El-Shazli, who is the president of the Islamic Society, is who John was referring to. The other panelists here this morning are Tony Fish, the spiritual leader at Unity Church in Frederick, and Dr. Charles Van Meter, who is a leading layperson in the Christian community, leads a longstanding Bible study and teaches an adult Sunday school class at Good News Presbyterian. One question I want to ask, and then I know that, Tony, it seemed from your body language you wanted to respond to something that John might have just said, so I'll give you a chance to do that. Mm-hmm. But also,
think he's got some stuff.
Yeah, and I think that Charlie does too.
Charlie good. Does.
He's flipping through his Bible, so I know that he's grounding his view of what the truth is in what the scripture, the Bible has to say, and from what John just said, and he quoted a couple of verses already in the show. He's grounding his view of the truth in the Bible. I'm not as familiar with the Unity tradition. Is that where the truth would be found in the Unity faith tradition as well?
Unity is a little different than other Christian denominations in that we use the Bible as a text. We look at it, though, from a more of a metaphysical interpretation than a literal interpretation. So our basis of assumptions are going to be somewhat different.
Yeah.
And that's part of the dialogue that always happens. And when I say metaphysical, our focus, as we're talking here about Jesus, is that the thing that saves us, that the thing that Jesus did that saves us was to point us to that process of living and dying that will allow us then to take those words, those teachings, and that spirit and integrate it into our own lives. So it's not that we save ourselves by ourselves. We save ourselves through the process of becoming immersed in the teachings and the process that Jesus lived, so that we can make those decisions through prayer and meditation that will get us to that same path. Will I achieve that in this lifetime? I got an awful lot of things going on in my lifetime that probably not. But that's my objective. That's my aim. That's my goal in life.
Charlie, seems like a good place for you to jump in.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's just like all, to me, that's very reminiscent of all humanistic religions, with the exception of one. Christianity is the only religion that I know of that has a way to God. All the others are works righteousness, and that you can work your way. But God's made it very clear in Scripture, if you sin, you die. Now, the classic evangelistic explosion questions is when you arrive at the pearly gate and God says, on what basis should I allow you to enter my heaven? And you say, well, I did this and I did this and I meditated on that and I did this. And God's going to say, did you sin? And if you say yes, God says, well, what are you going to do about that sin? You've got to either die or have an atonement made for you. And people in the listening audience have got to grapple with this decision. It doesn't make a difference how good a meditator you are, how many good things you do, how many thoughts you have that are good thoughts, what kind of spirit you think you have in you. If you don't have God's spirit and God's grace and you don't believe what Jesus says, he says, look, no one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I'm the way, I'm the gate, I'm the shepherd. The I am statements are divinity. He's God. He says, you don't get to me unless you believe in me. And the belief in me is that I died for your sin. I took your sin. You cannot get to me, period. Now that statement may sound dogmatic. It may sound narrow-minded. But you have to take in mind that God built a history of years with Israel, with prophets. He put a person on a cross that was very climactic and very dramatic. Everybody knows what Jesus did. And to take exception to that is to put your finger in God's eye and say, I don't accept your way. I'm coming my way, which is the height of arrogance and pride. And it is false teaching, and it will lead to the death of anybody that believes such a statement.
Now, we are going to have this panel back next week, and we're going to talk more specifically throughout the whole show about Jesus and what maybe a right and proper view of Jesus is, and what the Unity tradition teaches, and what the more Reformed Christian perspective would teach, and so forth. And I don't want to deviate too much into that, but it's hard for all these conversations always come back to they all intersect. But a question I want to ask is, it sounds like, if I can bring this back to the truth issue, it sounds like there's some disagreement on what the truth is. Is that a fair assumption at this stage of the game?
No, I think so.
And it seems like at least on one side of the aisle, there is an understanding that having a difference of opinion on the truth has an eternal consequence. Charlie just talked about when you go to heaven, you know, what's God going to hold you account on? What is the Unity view on that? Is it okay? Can we all disagree and everything's still maybe okay? If I don't agree with your view, for example, Tony, might I still be okay?
Are there eternal consequences?
Whereas if I disagreed with Charlie, he's probably going to tell me, well, no, you're probably not okay.
And I think that's a very, very clear distinction between where Charlie stands and where I stand, and probably where John stands and where I stand, in that we are in unity. There is no physical place called hell. Hell is a state of consciousness.
It's a metaphysical thing, is what you're saying?
It's a state of consciousness. It's a state of separation from God, being in a separate place from God. And when I die, my spirit, which we believe to be in its essence pure. Because, in fact, in unity...
So you believe the spirit is pure, even though you do sins...
At my essence. At
your
my
essence never
I am
becomes
pure.
Impure.
I am pure.
Huh.
I will, in fact, in this body and in this lifetime...
Sure.
...make decisions that are not.
Pure.
Because I have been separated
Tony,
from
how
that
could
pure
you?
Place. Well, hey, you know.
It occurs to me that early in the show, you know, I don't know if it was a question or if it was Tony responding to a question and it got brought up, but she talked, I think it was a question. I asked what are some universal truths. Mm-hmm. And it occurs to me it might be appropriate to find out, you know, from John and or Charlie, you know, what would the
universal truths be?
Yeah, what would the universal truths be from your perspective?
You know, I would say that that there are many roads to God, but that they all lead through Christ. I really believe that. In fact, I think every Hindu out there is genuinely trying, you know, that's really following Hinduism is genuinely trying to get to God. I think the same thing's true about Islam. And I think when they finally get to the place where they, and this is what I believe is universal, mm-hmm. that we all as humans know that there's something wrong. That's a universal truth. I know you agree with it. There's a problem and we sin. And the problem leads to a separation. I think that that's clearly a universal truth. And I would argue that that separation, this is where you and I would disagree, that spiritually I've become impure. Mm, and that is the death, mm-hmm. that is the spiritual death, that I didn't just die physically or emotionally, but I actually died spiritually. Mm-hmm. And so because I died spiritually, I need an eternal spiritual atonement. I need a perfect man, God himself, mm-hmm. to come. In fact, I think that that's a universal truth, that if there's a good God out there that allows evil to happen, then he has to allow it to himself. Mm. He has to be willing to let that evil, you know, and that's where Christ was on the cross. He allowed himself to be crucified and for the fullness of evil of history to be put on his back. That, I believe, is a universal truth, that if there's a good God, if there's a good God, that at some level he would have to go through it with us, walk in our shoes.
Interesting.
And Charlie?
Interesting.
Well, I'm trying to process what you said, John.
So is my wife. She hasn't figured it out yet either.
I think we all are.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would have to say that based upon what I see in Romans chapter 3 here, it says no one's righteous and no one seeks God.
Amen.
All right, so I would take exception with the Hindus, and I don't think they're seeking God. I think they're seeking some kind of soothing to their guilty conscience, but they're not seeking the true God. The true God has made himself known. It's a universal truth that in Romans 1, he tells us he created the world, and he's made it clear to everybody. It's clear to everybody when you look outside on a clear fall night and you see the stars, when you look outside and you see all that he's created, he's made himself obvious. Now, we don't want to seek that God. That's a universal truth. We don't want anything to do with him because we're sinners, we're fallen, we don't seek him, we are dead. That's a universal truth. And if we recognize that there is a true God, what does that make us? Accountable. And we don't want to be accountable. We're not seeking the true God. And
you
we don't
the,
have a spirit of divinity in us either. The spirit in Genesis 1 was a breath of life, not the spirit of divinity.
Right. And I agree with you on that. It's interesting that I think, Charlie, I do disagree with you on the question of whether or not we can seek God in and of ourselves. Even in Romans, where it says that there is no one who seeks God, no, not one, it is referring to a specific time in history where Paul, when he writes to the Romans, is warning the Jewish people of pride and arrogance, and he's pointing them back to their own history, and he says, look, King David, when he was alive, he himself, in his own lifetime, he cried out concerning the Jews, there is no one righteous, no, not one. And then Paul lists off from Jeremiah and Isaiah similar passages about times in history when the Jews themselves were evil and at the lowest levels of depravity, in fact. And so anyways, my belief on that particular issue is that there are many people that seek God. And I would agree with you, though, that there's probably a lot of Hindus, a lot of Buddhists, and even a lot of Christians that their religion is not seeking God, but it's a pride trip. And I think that's true for all of us at some level.
I'm going to give Tony the final word in this program.
Okay. I just want to say that I hear you, Charlie, and I believe that it is our basic nature to seek God. I think it's part of who we are to reach out to that which is larger than ourselves, greater than ourselves, so much so that we can't even imagine how great it is. And I think that that's our basic nature, is to reach out to God. Whether we make it or not, that's what it is.
All right, well, we've solved the world's ills once again in 27 minutes or less. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. My thanks again to John Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel, to Tony Fish from Unity Church in Frederick, and from Dr. Charles Van Meter, representing, I guess, Good News Presbyterian. Not in a pastoral sense, but representing them nonetheless. Again, we want to thank our sponsor for the program, All Shred, Mobile Document Destruction, shredding today for growth tomorrow. 1-877-2-SHRED. That's 1-877-2-SHREDD. Same panel back next week to talk about the person of Jesus. That ought to be fun. Thanks for listening. I'm Troy Skinner on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD.